This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Dungeon Builder's Harem, Book 01, Part 3. Chapter 15. My heart raced as I burst into my throne room. I was hastily dressed in my gray robes with my silver breastplate over it. I held my spear. Lana and Garnet flanked me, all the bliss of our morning fun forgotten as the alarm echoed around us. Yusika stood at the top of the map, sunk in the room. She frowned. "What?" I asked the Fomorian. "The enemy hasn't entered the dungeon yet," she said. "He's waiting at the door." I stared at the map. There were two red dots in the entrance cave. They were right at the door. Several blue dots, representing the will-o-wisps and wildhounds, waited near the entrance door to pounce on the intruder. "Are they having trouble opening the door?" I asked, staring at the map. "I mean, it's locked, right? Are they those ill-equipped adventurers?" "No idea," Yusika said. "My previous master's dungeon was invaded once by an adventuring party, but they had no problem with the door. It's almost as if they're waiting." Then one of the red dots flashed bright. It pulsed. "Okay, what's going on?" "He wants to communicate with you," Celine said. "It's a dungeon builder." I swallowed. "Another one already?" "I guess so. If you concentrate on the flashes, your minds will connect through the magic of your dungeon." I sighed. I guessed I better speak to him. I gripped my lightning spear. I really needed to learn how to use this and concentrated on the dot. I had been hoping to have some time to gain proficiency in my powers before another dungeon builder or my first adventuring party arrived. "Hello?" I said. "I am Leo." Then, feeling foolish, added, "The lord of this dungeon." "Leo," the man said. "Is that your real name, or did you adopt it upon entering this world?" "Real name," I said. "Why would I adopt a new one? Who are you?"
"Fujin," he said. He had a jovial tone to his voice. "Not my earth name, but one I thought was fitting for this world. For my new role. I would love to come in and have a chat. Meet the newcomer. I hear you defeated that ill-mannered Thunzi."
"I did." Caution gripped me. Then, to Celine, I asked.
"He just wants to talk."
"Probably. I mean, what other friends do you get as a dungeon builder besides your companions? Make him swear on his void crystal."
I nodded, then concentrated on Fujin.
"I would enjoy a conversation, but I swear by my void crystal that I, Fujin, and my vassal, Amante, shall not harm you or yours.
I ask leave to enter your dungeon and be granted safe passage to your presence." A nervousness rippled through me. If Celine said it was okay.
"I swear by my void crystal that you shall have safe passage to me and be allowed to leave unmolested so long as you do nothing to threaten or harm myself or my vassals."
"Agreed,"
he said. I glanced down at one of the dots near him. "The Wildhound Dew.
Do guide him to me."
"Yes, Lord Leo,"
she said excitedly. It was nice to know that I could communicate with my monster girls this way. I glanced at my two companions and Yusuku.
"We have a guest coming in.
Fujin.
He's got a monster girl named Amante with him.
Pretty name," Garnet said.
"So he's not coming to fight."
"He said he won't, but let's be ready. We'll outnumber him 2-1.
My monster girls nodded. I sat on my throne, Garnet sitting on my armrest in a cute position, reclined back on my shoulder with her arm draped over my neck. Lana and Yusuku flanked me, standing ready for any trouble. Yusuka could shape weapons of darkness, and Lana had her lightning. What could Garnet do in a fight? No time to figure that out. Their dots were no longer red, but green. A new color. No longer hostile, but not one of my monster girls. Do led Fujin and Amante through the dungeon unerringly. To my knowledge, the monster girls had never wandered it. I had placed them in their spots via the magic of the void crystal. Perhaps they all had a map of the dungeon in their mind. My stomach tightened as they passed through trap rooms without setting them off. My pledge was controlling the dangers of my dungeon automatically. I hated that he was seeing the layout, though, like the hidden door that led to my throne room. Was this just a way to scout my domain? Should I scramble things up after he left? He passed down the hallway, through Yusuka's guard post, and then was at the door to my throne room. I straightened. Garnet wiggled about to get more comfortable. I drew in a short breath, preparing myself. Du pushed the doors open, a great big smile on her lips. She immediately darted to the side and fell onto all fours, her tail wagging happily. Behind her came my two guests. Fujin and his monster girl, Amante. I frowned. He had bronze skin. Not like someone with a deep tan, but actual skin that looked bronze with eyes that were glowing bright like coals. How had he made his body look like that?
Fire was obviously his element, since he had a cape of it burning down his back. He wore a sleeveless, red robe he had tied loosely to show off his muscular chest. He strode with strength and confidence into the room. He had power. Beside him walked a gorgeous monster girl. A bust of woman who looked to be made out of cooled magma, the outer surface black and smooth but fissures of glowing red ran across her curvaceous figure. Her hair was like his cloak, a mane of flames that burned down her back in defiance of gravity. Her eyes had the same glow as his.
"She's a Cherfu, Lord Leo," Celine said. "And he has power. More than one glyph, but fire must be his primary one. What a delightful place you have here," said Fujin.
"It's basic, but so were my first few incarnations. You have some panache, though. A labyrinth right off the bat. It took me weeks to figure out that trick."
"Thanks,"
I said, not sure what else to say. "I'm curious why you're here. The last dungeon builder I met."
"Yes, yes, him."
Fujin blanched as he crossed the map and then stopped before my throne.
"He was a little pissant. Some men, you give them a taste of power and they burn with it. Too hot. They destroy everything around them. Not you?"
I arched an eyebrow.
"You literally are wearing a flaming cloak."
"I know, it's ostentatious, isn't it?" He laughed in self-mocking deprecation. "I like to play the trope, you know. Look all badass for when I have my audiences. It cows the locals. Keeps them from causing problems with my dungeon."
"I see,"
I said.
"Like that lightning breastplate you have on over your robes."
He cocked his head.
"Why does that make me think of Lord of the Rings? That can't be right. Gandalf didn't wear a breastplate, did he?"
"No,"
I said. "Is that why you're here?"
"I'm here to say hi." He smiled.
"You know, be all neighborly. We're not that close neighbors, but still, I thought I'd introduce myself.
See if you were a prick." He glanced at my sister.
"At least you have some kinky tastes. She would look good in thigh-high boots."
"Yes, I would," Garnet said.
"Big bro, would you make me some boots?"
Fujin smiled.
"Big bro, huh?
Nice.
I like your style, Leo. I think we can be friends."
"Okay," I said, still bewildered by all of this.
"You're cautious, I get that. What with that M'Thunzi prick attacking you and all. And I don't think being friends is exactly why you're here,"
I said, studying him. There was something more to this guy.
"Do you have any idea why we're here?"
Fujin asked, his eyes narrow.
"Why we were brought from our world to here and given these powers?"
"No," I said.
"Not really. Celine won't tell me anything."
"Celine?" He smiled.
"That's cute. I call mine Celita. She has a feistiness to her.
Mine's more motherly," I said.
"Interesting," he said. "And does she have black hair and tan skin? A nice set of breasts? Like on your Fomorian or on my Amante?"
"Yeah," I said.
"They all look alike, the souls of the void crystals," said Fujin.
"Or so I can gather. But they have different personalities.
Why do you think that is?"
I shook my head.
"Yeah, I'm pretty clueless myself," he sighed. "I never had the patience for study. You know, always thought school was useless. Not the idea of it, but the execution. Sit there, listen to boring lectures, and memorize dumb shit. I want to be doing things. Teach me to rebuild a car engine or wire an electrical circuit. Give me something useful. And now. Now I'm here and I want to understand the void crystal. Why we're here. What the whole point is in bringing us into the world. The locals hate us. They have a whole cottage industry of adventurers. You're out in the hinterlands, but there's a town near here putting out the call for some adventurers. You get closer to the big population centers, and some heroes out there could flatten this dungeon without taking a breath. And when we're not killing each other, we attract wandering monsters that want our mana and other dungeon builders looking to increase their power. But here's the catch, the more you have, the more the locals try to kill you.
Why?
What is the point in bringing us here?
I really don't know,
I said. I've been wondering that myself. I've been here not long, though. 50 years for me.
He stretched his back.
And all I can think about is we're being honed.
Honed? He nodded.
Violence to keep us sharp. To keep strengthening us. To build us up into something. What, I don't know. But this is a crucible. Something is being smelted. We're either the new alloy of whatever being brought us here, or we're the slag that floats to the surface and gets scraped away. The impure parts. The bits that aren't needed to make something better. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be thrown away.
I don't either, I said, my stomach sinking.
So, that's why I thought we could be friends.
He reached into his robe and plucked out a scroll. He tossed it to me. Garnet snatched it with her tail. It was parchment rolled up tight and sealed with red wax that had a chevron made of four of the arrow, cuneiform-like lines. A stylized flame.
Break that seal if you ever need to contact me. I'll come and help. If I can.
Thanks, I said, frowning.
His words filled a pit in me. Lovely dew, shall you guide me to the front door again?
Asked Fujin to my wildhound. She glanced at me. I nodded as I took the scroll from my sister. I held it in my hand. I had just made an ally. As surprising as that was, my stomach roiled. This was something serious. I bit my lip, glancing at my sister and then Lana.
What do you think?
I asked.
That you need to get all big and strong, big bro.
Garnet said, sliding off of the throne.
Like big time. I don't want you to die. I'll end up having to suck some ugly guy's dick.
He'll be named Bubba and have a beer gut and he'll use my cute head as a coaster. You don't want that, do you?
God, no. I said and glanced at Yusuku. If another dungeon builder beat me, he would claim my companions as his own. They might shift their love to him as I did to you, Lord Leo.
My little sister with another man?
Fuck no. We need to practice.
Yusuku, you know how to fight with weapons.
I stood up and brandished my spear at her.
I do, Lord Leo. She said.
I would gladly train you. And you have your dark magic to practice.
Celine said.
3 new spells to practice.
Then let's begin.
I said. I want to get proficient as fast as possible.
And how did he make himself look so inhuman? Is that from expanding his dungeon into new mana veins? Or did he do it through the void crystal?
I had healed myself with it.
Celine, can I modify my body with the void crystal?
Of course. That's how you repaired your wounds. You're part of the magic of it too.
There are limits, but you can modify yourself.
I nodded and said. I'll be right back.
Yusuku, figure out how to start training me.
Right. She said.
I'll figure something out, Lord Leo. Make me some thigh-high boots to wear, big bro.
My little sister shouted, her words echoing around me. I headed to the treasure room. Motherly Celine sat on the void crystal. I studied the tiny figure, her large breasts looking perfectly proportioned. I stared at her as I grabbed the black gem in both my hands.
Is he right about this being a crucible? I asked.
I really don't know, Lord Leo. She said. She rose into the air and floated before me.
I can see the logic of his words, but if they are correct, I don't know.
And all souls of the void crystals look the same? She shrugged.
I've never met another. I came into being the first time you dreamed of me.
When we connected. This crystal was made for you. It's key to your life signature.
My DNA, or is this something magical?
I don't know what DNA is, but every creature has a unique life signature, a pattern of such complexity it defines everything about their physical bodies and helps to shape their spiritual ones.
Spiritual? Your personality. Your thoughts, your will.
Who you are, Leo.
She smiled at me.
And I was made to be a companion to you.
A sexy MILF, huh?
My dick throbbed thinking of my mother.
Yeah, I get that.
You are delicious. She smiled at me.
I stared at her.
Do you think I'll make it a year, let alone 50 like Fujin, or will I be defeated by the first set of adventurers who crash into my dungeon?
Believe in yourself, Leo, and there is nothing you cannot do.
Then she kissed me on the nose. I couldn't help but smile at her touch. It was exciting to feel. I closed my eyes and then I concentrated on the changes. I found myself like I had when healing my wounds. I could make myself stronger. Have quicker reflexes. I could also change my skin, hair, and eye coloring. It was like the character creator in a video game. But I didn't see the need for that. Bronze skin and glowing eyes were not my style. I was fine the way I was. I did push up my strength and my reflexes. I felt my skin growing tauter over the more defined muscles I gained. My sinews felt tougher. Like they could move my limbs faster. It was the best I could do. It had to be enough. And then I created a pair of thigh-high boots for my sister to wear.
Black, of course.
A nice, shiny black. Chapter 16. Garnet loved her boots, of course. They were heeled, which changed the way she walked. She had even more sway, her ass somehow perkier. She became even more playful, which made my sparring lessons interesting. I could be in the middle of a match when she would just plop down on my shoulders and plant her pussy on my face. That shaved, spicy snatch was a hard thing to ignore. My sister was a succulent peach, just demanding that I enjoy her juicy delights, which I did. For the next week, I spent much of my time training. Yusuku taught me the basics of footwork and how to stand. We would spend hours doing that, with Garnet trying to trip me up with her devil tail while holding this innocent expression on her face. Lana watched intently though, studying what we were doing. Soon, she was joining in the footwork exercises, learning how to move better. Yusuku, it turned out, did some taekwondo, so she knew something about fighting beyond what being a Fomorian could do. Garnet, being unable to resist, joined in the fun too. She would scamper around with us on her heeled boots, giggling in delight. Then I would spar with Yusuku. I learned about guard stances. How to use my weapon to defend myself and attack. How not to telegraph my strikes. That was hard. I wanted to wind up to deliver devastating hits, but that just left you open to attack and told the enemy what you were going to do. You didn't want that. I dripped in sweat by the time I was done. My muscles were sore. Luckily, the bath was a great place to relax. I could spend an hour in there just soaking. Of course, none of my women would let me rest for long before they were playing with my cock. Near the end of the week, the other monster girls were coming off their posts to spar with me. I dodged lightning blasts from the will-o-wisps and leaping attacks from the wildhounds. Their claws and teeth tried to find my flesh. They were all serious about helping me fight. I was glad I could grab my void crystal and heal myself when one of my monster girls was too enthusiastic.
Sorry, Lord Leo.
Whimpered GWYLT as I pressed a hand to my bleeding thigh. She crouched before me, her triangular ears wilted, her entire body shrinking down.
It's fine.
I grunted, crimson welling between my fingers.
Leo.
Gasped Lana Fullman. She rushed over to me and put her arm around me.
Let's get you to the crystal.
Bad puppy. Garnet scolded. My sister succubus conjured a whip out of shadows. I blinked at that. She suddenly looked like a dominatrix in her thigh-high boots. Her small breasts jiggled. Her demon tail swished back and forth.
No! I barked. G.W.Y. Lutzi was doing what I told her to do. She was supposed to attack me. I should have blocked it. Pain will teach me not to do that stupid move again.
Garnet wilted. Her wings dropped.
Fine, big bro. She muttered, looking so sad. I won't whip her. You can whip me, little sis Garnet. Said G.W.Y.L.T. The Wildhounds doted on my sister. They loved her like she was their kid sis.
It's fine. I can take it.
She bent down low and thrust her rump up in the air, her black tail curling to the side so that her pale ass was exposed.
Yay!
Garnet cheered. I had no idea she had this side to her. It must be the succubus parts of her. She was a creature of sex now. Kinky sex. She grinned and formed the whip out of shadows again. It wasn't like the weapons that Yusuke could form out of the darkness. This seemed so ephemeral, like my sister could use it for the sole purpose of whipping a bad monster girl.
Wait until we get back.
Lana said, guiding me to the hallway that led to our quarters.
Your brother deserves to watch.
Oh, right.
Said Garnet. Delight flashed across her mischievous face.
That makes sense. He definitely deserves to see how hot and sexy this is.
Ooh, it'll be hot.
Look at her cute rump. I want to pet it with my whip.
I grunted. I might have made myself stronger and faster, but it wasn't always enough. G.W.Y.L.T. had torn her claws deep into my muscles. I limped, leaning on Lana. My lightning sprite movie starlet helped me to the room.
Can you clean the blood up too?
She said, staring back at the floor. I was leaving a trail of splatter behind.
Yes, dear.
I said in a playful tone like I was her put-upon husband and she was, honey doing me, she smiled.
I am being a little wifey, aren't I?
She laughed.
Well, aren't Garnet and I your wives?
I blinked at that.
I suppose so too.
You're my women.
Yusuke is your concubine and the little wisps and wildhounds are all your girlfriends.
She continued.
Boy, aren't I the philanderer?
She giggled.
You are, but that's fine. It's fun.
It is.
I said.
I guess the real you wouldn't put up with this.
The old me could be a bitch.
She said.
I am the real me.
Just a Lana Fullman that understands things differently.
Being in a new body in a new world can do that to a girl, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it does. We reached the void crystal. Celine rushed over and inspected the wound. She shook her head, this worried look on her face.
Leo, you have to be careful. You can't get yourself killed in a training accident. That would be terrible.
I'm not going to die.
I said, pulling my hand from my leg. I groaned as the blood spurted. I grasped the void crystal with both hands.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't think that's a flesh wound.
She said.
It's bleeding very badly.
Fine.
I repeated, feeling a little lightheaded. I concentrated on accessing the void crystal. All the options slid through me. I could feel everyone in the dungeon. My monster girls, my companions, Yusuke, and myself. I knitted my leg, repairing the damage. Then I mopped up the blood from the floor and repaired my clothing.
There.
I said.
Right as rain. Now let's go watch your sister whip G.W.Y.L.T. for no other reason than she's a kinky slut.
Lana said. I laughed.
That she is.
We returned to the throne room. Yusuke smiled as I entered. She was naked, her training clothes dismissed. G.W.Y.L.T. was still kneeling. Garnet perked up. She swung her whip. I settled down onto the throne.
May I?
Yusuke asked, hefting her large breasts. She squeezed those dark purple mounds.
You may.
I said and unbuckled my silver breastplate. It crackled with the lightning imbued in it. I set it down on the side and then stripped out of my gray robes. My cock thrust out hard.
Good to see that I have your full attention, big bro.
My sister said, staring with hungry eyes at my cock.
Oh yes, full attention.
I said, shaking my cock at her. She licked her lips, her hands stretching a length of her shadowy whip between them. I settled down on the throne while Yusuke knelt before me. She leaned in and piled her breasts around my cock. Her nipples rubbed into my chest. Her dark blue eyes, matching her gray-blue hair, stared up at me with hunger. She squeezed those soft tits about my dick. Then she slid them up and down. I groaned at the wonderful caress of her tits on my cock and its spongy crown. Lana Fullman sat down on the armrest of my throne, her eyes on the naughty Garnet and the wicked G.W.Y.L.T. The Wildhound looked at me, her eyes full of heat. She was doing this for me as much as my sister. She wanted to be whipped to make us happy.
Whip that ass.
I commanded, my dick throbbing between Yusuke's tits.
Yes, big bro.
My sister said happily. Her pigtails swayed about her face. She drew back her whip. Lana whimpered beside me. I thrust my hand between her thighs and shaved pussy. I rubbed my fingers up and down her hot flesh, loving the way her juicy snatch coated my fingers. Her juices felt so wonderful against my digits. I dug into them. I loved the heat of her folds. I slid up to her clit and rubbed at her bud. She gasped, her body shuddering. I worked my digits in fast circles, stirring up her cunt. It was such a delicious thing to feel. She squirmed, her face contorting. My dick throbbed between Yusuke's wonderful breasts. The air hissed. Crack. The whip fell on G.W.Y.L.T.'s ass. The Wildhound's head snapped up. Her ears twitched as she let out a howl of pain. Her face, however, held an expression of ecstasy. It hurt, but she loved it.
I'm so sorry, Lord Leo, for hurting you.
She whimpered, her black and bushy tail swishing back and forth.
Thank you, little sister Garnet, for punishing me.
You are welcome, Garnet said, her left hand sliding down her slender body to her hairless pussy. She shoved her fingers between her thighs and rubbed at her cunt while drawing back her whip. Her eyes flicked to me. She grinned and whipped out crack. I groaned at the sound echoing through my throne room. My fingers thrust into Lana's pussy. Her tingling flesh engulfed my middle and ring digits. I ground the heel of my hand on her clit as she moaned. Yusuka worked her tits faster and faster up and down my cock. Thank you, little sister Garnet, for punishing me, moaned the wild hound. Her tail wagged back and forth. She wiggled her hips, her face growing flushed. Going to punish you so hard, naughty puppy, moaned my sister. She frigged her cunt, her legs quivering in her thigh-high boots. Her small breasts had just the right amount of jiggle as she drew back the shadowy whip. An inky blur slashed down at the wildhound. Crack. Fuck. I groaned as the wildhound howled. You like big bro? My sister asked, such hope in her eyes. Yes. I groaned, enjoying watching her punishing the wildhound, my cock throbbing between Yusuka's boobs. I'm so happy, Lord Leo. GWYLT moaned. I was so naughty to hurt you. I deserve to be whipped and whipped. How wet is your pussy? I groaned, my balls tightening. The silky glide of Yusuka's tits working up and down my cock sent pleasure racing down my shaft. So wet. She's dripping, big bro. Garnet moaned. She bit her lip, her pigtails swaying about her face and leathery wings fluttering. Oh, I can smell her. That yummy scent of wildhound cunt. Ooh, I bet she'll come. Her arm flicked forward. Crack. Yes, yes, yes. Gasped GWYLLT. I was such a bad wildhound. So very, very bad. Thank you, little sister Garnet. You're welcome. My sister purred and drew back her arm again. Crack. Lana's cunt clenched about my digits as she watched. She let out a cooing moan of delight at the sight. It was hot. My dick throbbed and ached from the tableau before us, feeling so amazing in Yusuka's delightful tits. She worked them up and down faster and faster. My face twisted in pleasure. My balls tightened from the boobs fucking my cock. Yusuka squeezed them around me. I thrust my digits deep into Lana's cunt. Her pussy gripped them. Held them tight. I shuddered, my dick twitching in between those big breasts. The whip fell again and again. GWYLLT moaned and howled. She wiggled her hips. Her black hair fell about her flushed face. Her triangular, dog ears twitched. Red stripes crisscrossed her ass. Garnet groaned, my sister's body shaking. Juices ran down her thighs. Such a bad, bad puppy, moaned Garnet. Crack. So bad, howled GWYLLT. Her head threw back. Lord Leo, little sister Garnet, I'm so bad. Such a bad, bad puppy. Yes. Her juices gushed out of her and splashed the stone floor. Her moans echoed through the room. My dick throbbed in Yusuka's grip. Lana moaned, her thighs squeezing tight about my hand. My digits plundered deep into her cunt. You wicked doggy, gasped Garnet. My sister's wings flapped hard. She threw her head back and cried out in ecstatic delight. Juices gushed out of her cunt. They spilled down her thighs. She shuddered, her body trembling. The pleasure swept through her. She bit her lip, her face twisting in ecstasy. Her head tossed back and forth, the ecstasy clearly rushing through her body. Oh my god, that's good, she moaned. Oh yes, yes, I love it. Fuck, I groaned, Yusuka's tits sliding up to the tip of my dick. She engulfed the crown. My balls tensed, erupted, cum jetted out of my cock and splashed across Yusuka's dark purple features. The Fomorian moaned her delight. She bathed in the spunk spurting out of my dick. It coated over her face. It spilled across her features. She opened her mouth, catching my jizz on her tongue. Oh, Leo, whimpered Lana, her pussy clamping down hard on my fingers twitching in her twat. Yes. Lightning sizzled from her wings, striking the ceiling above. Sparks showered down on us as her pussy went wild. Her cunt convulsed around my digits. I groaned, loving the feel as I unloaded on Yusuka's face. Lord Leo, Yusuka moaned. That yummy cum. I fired the final blast, the pleasure sizzling across my mind. I groaned, sucking in deep breaths. It was fantastic. Amazing. My mind simmered from the wonderful pleasure. Yusuka licked at her lips, the spunk running over her. Then Garnet was there. She had darted over to lick my cum off of Yusuka's face. My Fomorian concubine's breast slid off my cock as my sister wife fell to her knees to lick and lap up all that spunk. She caressed over the face, gathering up all the yummy spunk she could. I panted, watching the sight, my chest rising and falling, my digits soaking in Lana's writhing pussy. She shuddered a few more times before she leaned against me, her round breast pressing into the side of my face. Garnet lapped up my cum. My sister feasted on it with obvious hunger and delight. She lapped the spunk off of Yusuka's features. Then the pair kissed, sharing my jizz. They snowballed it back and forth, both of them moaning. Lord Leo, whimpered GWYLLT. She crawled to me, her eyes feverish. I'm sorry for hurting you. And you are forgiven, I said as she climbed onto my lap and cuddled there. She pressed her cheek against mine and nuzzled her lips into my ear. I closed my eyes, enjoying this moment. It was a delicious one. Training often led to such fun. During my second week of training, I started adding magic to my attacks. I trained to cry out a static aura spell to surround myself with electricity to protect against an incoming attack. Or learn to throw out a blind spell, utilizing my new darkness magic that I had gained 3 spells with my dark glyph. I had seen Thunzi use them all. Dark Dagger gave me another ranged attack to go along with Lightning Spear. Blind was a good debuff spell. Something to disorient an enemy. Knight's Cloak let me hide in a pocket of shadow, but they could still blind fire in there. It could be more useful in a dark room, letting me vanish into deep pools of shadows. I grew more skilled with my silver spear and with the black dagger I fashioned. There seemed to be a weapon associated with each element. The dagger felt right. It was good to use in Night Cloak. The spear often poked out of the area, or so my women told me, and that gave them something to target. It was good I got the practice in because near the end of that week, the alarm rang. My dungeon was under attack. Chapter 17. It's dinner time! Garnet hissed as we were sitting around the table as the alarm reverberated through the dungeon. Only I was eating, but Garnet, Yusuku, and Lana joined me.
That's so rude.
Come on, I said and stood. The stew will be here once we've defeated them. And if not, at least we won't have to do the dishes. Washing dishes was not easy without a dishwasher. It involved a lot of scrubbing.
That's not funny, Lana said.
Garnet giggled. Always looking on the bright side, eh, big bro? Then she licked her lips.
I can get a meal, at least.
I frowned at her. Was she going to go out and do her succubus thing on the adventurers? I didn't want her sucking off another guy. If she thought that was happening, I would have to educate her. I watched her as I strapped on my breastplate, thrusting my black dagger into my belt, and seized my silver spear. I didn't feel nearly as foolish now that I knew how to fight. We rushed out to the throne room. Yusuka kept going to her post in the final guard room. She would be the last line of defense before me. I sank onto my throne. The map screen turned on. The layout of the dungeon appeared. All my women represented as dots. 4 red ones were moving through the labyrinth. Do, the Wildhound, and Vasia, the Will-O-Wisp, attacked them from side tunnels. They rushed in, blue dots colliding with the red. I had no idea what was happening. Garnet fell to her knees before me as I watched with intensity, worried for my monster girls. It had so much of my attention, it was only the feel of warm lips sliding over my cock that let me realize what my succubus sister was up to. I glanced down at her red eyes staring up at me with such mischievous delight in them as she sucked.
Garnet!
I gasped. This isn't the time for that. She popped her mouth off my cock.
Sure it is, big bro.
What if we died? I want to die with a belly full of all your yummy cum. Then she swallowed my dick again and sucked. I groaned, gripping the armrest of my throne. Lana just laughed and shook her head. I shuddered, keeping my eyes locked on the display. The 4 red dots fell back into a side corridor where CI pounced on one of the dots in the rear. The enemy was becoming surrounded as my monster girls were flooding in. Hela and Svite were racing side by side now. Garnet bobbed her head. She worked her mouth up and down my cock, sucking with such intensity. My balls tightened as she worked, her tongue dancing around my dick. Her demon tail swished back and forth behind her, playful twitches as she moaned around my dick.
Fuck, Garnet!
I groaned. The 4 red dots bunched up. I winced as Dew.
Died.
Her soul sent back to the reservoir. It cleared an opening for the enemy. The enemy dots rushed towards the dungeon entrance, being chased and harried by my monster girls. They fled from my dungeon.
Ran like bitches!
Purred Lana as Garnet sucked harder on my dick.
Yeah!
I groaned, gripping the top of my sister's head. Triumph surged through me as I savored that hot mouth working up and down my dick. That wonderful, delightful, incestuous mouth. Her tongue danced. She knew how to suck. How to love my dick. She was made to love my cock. My succubus sister nursed with passion. I grinned, seeing the dots of my monster girls clustered at the entrance. The enemy had fled. We had driven them back. I groaned, relaxing utterly into the blowjob my naughty sister gave me. Her wings fluttered as she sucked. Her tail swished back and forth. My hand brushed her horns poking up from her head. She moaned as she loved me. She slid those plump lips down my cock and then sucked back up.
Shit, Garnet.
I groaned.
Your sister is just sucking that dick.
Purred Lana. Look at her go. She's hungry for that cum. I panted.
Just a little jizz fiend.
My sister popped her mouth off.
Quay, heh heh.
I am. Her eyes blazed. I am the wicked Garnet, sent from the infernal realms of darkness to suck all the cum out my big brother's dick. She engulfed my cock and sucked hard. I groaned, my hands gripping the throne. My chest rose and fell. The pressure rose and rose in my balls. The ache swelled up to the tip of my cock. I squeezed my eyes shut, loving every second of this pleasure. I was so close to erupting. My sister's hands cupped my balls. She needed them as she nursed with her sloppy passion. The tingle shot up my shaft. She knew just what she was doing. Just how to make me shudder. My face clenched.
Fuck!
I groaned.
Fuck, that's good!
I erupted. My cum flooded her mouth. Spurt after spurt of my jizz fired out of my cock to her delight. She wiggled her hips back and forth as she nursed down my cum. She sucked with such hunger. She loved my jizz, guzzling it down with all her hunger. Her tail swished back and forth. My face twisted from the bliss. She gulped it all down. Just savored every last drop of my cum spurting into her mouth. The incestuous thrill of getting blown by my sexy succubus sister and defeating the adventuring party swelled through me. The doors burst open as I came down from that high. Vasia swept in, the Will-O-Wisp crackling with excitement.
Lord Leo, we have driven off the adventuring party. They were weak. They killed Du, I pointed out. And only her, she said. The others are hurt. We request your restorative touch, Lord Leo.
You mean you want an orgy after I patch you up? I asked.
Dvasia smiled. If that would make you happy, Lord Leo. Garnet popped her mouth off.
Quay, he, he.
Her fake anime laugh echoed through the room.
Of course it would. Lord Leo is eager to fuck you all with his big dick. You earned it.
Yeah, I said. They had died. I restored Du to life. There was a bit more power in the void crystal. Defeating the enemy had strengthened my power. The wild hound threw herself at me and licked at my face, her slender body rubbing against me. Her small breasts pressed into my chest as she bathed my features with her tongue. I threw her over my shoulder.
Lord Leo!
She yipped in delight, her tail wagging furiously.
Thank you for giving me another chance.
You'll always get another chance, Du, I said.
Not going to let one of my wild hounds stay dead.
She howled in delight. I marched out into the throne room to find the other wild hounds and will-o-wisps assembled. They were all healed from the damage they took and the minor destruction the adventuring party had wrecked before they had to flee. I unslung Du and Svisos ran up. The first monster girl I had created. My will-o-wisp threw herself at me, her large tits heaving. Her body, made of roiling plasma, pressed against me. The tingle of her flesh made me ache. Du snuggled in from the other side, the pair both looking so happy. I kissed them both. I savored the delight of their lips. I grabbed their rumps, Du's tail swishing over my hand. Their tongues played with me as we enjoyed our two-way kiss. The moans echoed through the room.
Garnet!
Gasped a will-o-wisp. It sounded like kibber.
Oh, I love your strap-on. Fuck me hard.
Quay, he, he. Chortled my sister, followed by the slap of flesh on flesh. I broke the kiss, gripping the asses of my two monster girls. They were both delicious in their own ways.
So, which of you gets my cock and which my lips?
Whichever one of us you wish. Svisos moaned.
Lord Leo, we just want to enjoy you.
I grinned.
Good answer. Do you want my cock?
Yes, yes, yes.
She yipped, sounding so excited. She licked my cheek.
Thank you. Ooh, I'll make you come so hard.
I bet you will. I groaned.
Svisos, want to ride my face?
I do, Lord Leo.
I really, really do.
She smiled at me, her white hair crackling with static charge. I grinned and sank to the floor. I caught a glimpse of my sister fucking with the shadowy dildo she had conjured. She thrust away at Kibber, who knelt on her hands and knees. Her large breasts swayed. Little arcs of lightning shot from her nipples to the floor. My sister's demonette tail swished back and forth in playful flicks as she thrust away. Then Svisos straddled my head and captured my attention. She sank her hairless twat to my lips, the tart scent of her pussy swelling. The will-o-wisp settled that cunt right down on my mouth. She planted that juicy twat there, my eyes staring at the swirling shades of blue azure, cerulean, more dancing through the cheeks of her ass.
Lord Leo!
She moaned as I thrust my tongue into her cunt. I buried into her tart depths and swirled around in her. I stirred her up as Du straddled my waist. She grabbed my cock, stroking me. Then she leaned down and whimpered. Her hot pussy kissed the tip of my dick. Then her cunt lips spread over it. She engulfed me.
Fuck!
I moaned into Spisos's pussy.
Yes, yes, my lord.
Moaned Du. The wild hound sank down my cock. She engulfed every inch of me in that naughty pussy. It was incredible to feel. To experience. I groaned, reveling in this wonderful pleasure. I savored it. Every last moment of her cunt engulfing my dick. It was incredible to feel. A wonderful delight to experience. I groaned into Svisos's pussy, loving Du's twat squeezing about me. Then she clenched about my shaft and rose. She slid up me. I groaned, my face contorting in delight. The pleasure rushed through my body. She wiggled her hips, stirring her cunt around my cock. She massaged me with that wonderful twat. Then she slammed back down my cock. She rode me as my tongue danced around in Svisos's cunt. I licked and lapped at my yummy will-o-wisp's twat. The electric charge in her body tingled through my tongue.
Oh, Lord Leo.
Whimpered Svisos.
I love it when you lick me. You're so different.
It's the whiskers.
Moaned Du, her pussy sliding up and down my dick.
Not like a woman. It's our man's mouth.
Svisos added, squirming around. She ground her pussy into my lips.
Yes.
Du moaned. I feasted on Svisos. I licked and lapped at her. I caressed her with my hungry mouth. It was incredible. I swirled my tongue about in her. She groaned, her cunt squeezing tight about me. I savored the flavor of her while Du rode my dick. That wonderful, delicious, and amazing wild hound worked her cunt up and down my dick. She moaned, her tight pussy sucking at my shaft. My balls tightened as her wonderful snatch massaged me. Her moans echoed through the room.
Yes, yes, yes!
She yipped. Her bark-like gasps filled the air, mixing with the moans and groans around the room.
So good. I love you, Lord Leo.
Me too.
Svisos moaned.
And I love your cute titties, Du.
So small.
Yours are so big.
Du leaned over. Svisos gasped.
Du. Just love playing with them.
I groaned at the change of angle of Du's pussy about my cock. Her cunt worked up and down my dick. She squeezed about me. It was incredible. The pleasure rushed through my body, the ache growing and growing with every moment. I shuddered, my toes curling. My heart pounded faster and faster.
The blood rushed through my veins. I licked and lapped at Sviso's hungry cunt. I swirled my tongue through her as my orgasm built and built. Dew's pussy sucked at me. That hot she slid up me, squeezing so hard. She moaned, her voice muffled by Sviso's big tits.
Shit.
I growled.
Oh shit, Dew. You're going to make him come. Moaned Sviso's.
Such a good girl. Dew whiffed in delight, sounding so happy. Her cunt clenched about my cock. She gripped me with her passion as she worked up and down me. She rode me hard and fast. She slammed that cunt down my dick and then squeezed hard as she slid back up me. I groaned into that cunt. I shuddered, savoring the delight. The heat rushed through my body as Dew rode me. I moaned, the pleasure building and building in my balls. I would have such a huge orgasm. Just a mighty burst of rapture.
Fuck.
I growled, my cock aching. The throbbing pressure swelled.
That's it. Work that cunt.
Damn. I erupted into Dew's cunt. The wild hound howled in delight. Her pussy convulsed around my cock. That hot flesh spasmed with such force. She rippled around me. I groaned into Sviso's cunt. The pleasure slammed through my body. It burst through me. It was incredible. Just an absolutely amazing rapture to experience. Pleasure slammed into my mind. It burst across my thoughts. My dick throbbed. I fired my cum into her cunt as her hole sucked at me. I nibbled on Sviso's lips. Her blue rump clenched before me. Her back arched.
Lord Leo!
She gasped. Juices gushed into my mouth. I groaned, drinking down her flood as I fired the last of my cum into Dew's pussy. Her cunt rippled around my shaft, making sure she had every drop. I shuddered, the heat buzzing through me. I licked and lapped at Sviso's cunt. We had won, but they had escaped. They would tell others where my dungeon was. This wasn't over at all.
Fuck!
I muttered. Chapter 18. Garnet ripped her dildo out of Kibber's cunt. The naughty succubus's wings fluttered. Her cunt clenched down on the piece of shadow. She loved being able to create sex toys out of darkness. The whip wasn't a weapon. Oh no, it was a toy, just like the double-headed dildo she had buried in her pussy. The other end thrust out before her dripping with juices. She needed someone to fuck. Her brother stood up, his cock dripping and cum instantly. Hila pounced on him. The black-haired wildhound sucked his dick into her mouth and nursed out. He groaned but looked perturbed.
Little sister Garnet,
called GWYLLT. Garnet whipped her head around, her black pigtails flying. She spotted the wildhound kneeling. Her rump still held the red stripes. They had faded, but they were still there. Proof that Garnet had spanked her.
Little sister Garnet, fuck me.
Moaned the wildhound, her hairless twat peeking out between her thighs. Garnet liked being called little sister by the wildhounds. It made her feel so loved by them. And it made it extra naughty as she rushed over, thigh-high boots clicking on the stones in such a naughty fashion. Her tail whipped behind her while her wings fluttered. She fell to her knees behind the wildhound, the shadowy dildo bobbing before her. The toy shifted in Garnet's pussy. The naughty succubus loved it. She grabbed both of GWYLLT's welted ass cheeks and parted them, smiled at that brown ring.
Oh yes, yes,
yipped the excited monster girl, her fluffy tail swishing back and forth.
Fuck my ass.
Gladly. Garnet moaned and placed her dildo right against that naughty hole. She thrust. The anal ring widened and widened about her toy. Then her shaft popped in. The monster girl yipped in shock. Her tail swished faster, sliding over Garnet's breasts. That fuzzy delight caressed them. Tingles raced through her body.
Oh my yes.
Garnet purred at the ticklish delight on her nipples. The toy shifted around in her pussy while part of it rubbed at her clit. Her bud burst with sparks.
You're going to come so hard, aren't you?
Yes. Yip GWYLLT. Garnet's toy bottomed out in the wildhound's bowels. She gripped the monster girl by the hips and drew back. Her toy slid out of GWYLLT's asshole, the shifting shaft massaging Garnet's twat. Pleasure rippled through her. Then she thrust back in hard, wings flapping. Her crotch smacked into GWYLLT's rump. Those cheeks jiggled in such a satisfying way. Garnet grinned at the impact. She hummed her delight as she thrust away at the naughty monster girl's asshole. She plundered her with hard and fast strokes, fucking into her bowels again and again.
Yes, yes, yes!
Garnet cried out, thrusting away. Her succubus body drank in the pleasure. She liked being a succubus. Everything felt so much better. Masturbation was awesome, and fucking monster girls in the ass with her double-headed dildo was amazing. But nothing beat feeling her brother's big dick in her. She had had a crush on him for so long. Now she was his. It was so amazing. She thrust harder at GWYLLT's asshole as her joy suffused her very being. She pumped away hard. Fast. Her dildo buried into the wildhound's bowels.
Little sister Garnet!
Gasped the wildhound.
Oh yes, yes, fuck my asshole. Ooh, your dildo feels so good in me.
I bet! Cooed the naughty succubus. Her tail switched.
Take it! You're going to come!
So hard! Moaned the monster girl.
Yes!
Garnet's pussy drank in the friction from her toy. She loved it rubbing against her clit every time she thrust into that naughty wildhound's asshole. Her pussy gripped the shaft, her silky flesh drinking in the friction. Her wings fluttered while her nipples throbbed, teased by GWYLLT's swishing, fuzzy tail. Every thrust brought her closer and closer to coming. To erupting with all that wonderful bliss she loved. Her succubus flesh craved it. She whimpered, her cunt squeezing around the naughty toy.
It stirred her up. She thrust harder and harder, fucking that tight tush. It felt amazing to do. She buried in hard and fast, her wings fluttering. Her cunt clenched, the heat building and building in her. She came closer and closer to that mighty orgasm. She couldn't wait.
Yes, yes, yes,
she moaned.
Lord Zuin's cock.
The wildhound gasped, crying out to the god of darkness.
Ooh, you're stirring up my asshole.
I am. Garnet gasped.
Quay, he, he.
She loved being a succubus. Her anime laugh was perfection.
Come. I want you to come. Yes.
GWYLT yipped. The wildhound's tail swished faster, teasing Garnet's nipples. She loved it. She slammed to the hilt in the monster girl's asshole. She threw back her head and cried out in rapture. She gasped out her delight. Garnet knew that she had made GWYLT come. The knowledge burned through her. She gasped out with such wild passion. Her pussy convulsed around her toy. She gripped the wildhound's hips as the pleasure rushed through her body.
Yes, yes, yes,
cried Garnet. Stars burst across her vision. Her moans merged with the others. Lana cried out, getting feasted on by CI and Marwell. Yusuke had Jintara sucking on one nipple, Nose on the other, and Zyba's fisting her cunt. Garnet rode her pleasure to those wicked heights. Her wings fluttered as she reveled in this wonderful passion. Her mind drank in the rapture flooding out of her spasming pussy. She whimpered her delight, GWYLT yipping and yapping her pleasure.
Little sister Garnet,
whimpered GWYLT.
That was so good. I love your dildo.
It was fun, she said.
Big bro, I just...
Her words trailed off as she spotted her brother. He stared down at Hila, dripping in his cum. Only he looked like he was staring off at eternity, not at the sexy sight of the wildhound dripping with his spunk. Concern fluttered through the succubus. She pulled out her dildo from GWYLT's asshole. She dismissed her toy as she crossed to him.
Big bro?
He didn't glance at her.
Big bro?
She asked, speaking louder.
Is everything okay, big bro?
He turned to her.
They got away.
I know, we won.
Garnet fluttered her wings.
Your dungeon worked. They know where it is. They'll tell others.
He sighed.
This is just beginning.
Garnet slid against him.
But you have us. You have me and Lana and Yusuku. You have Hila and her sister Wildhounds, and Svisos and her sister Willow Wisps. We'll drive them back, too. You'll see.
He nodded.
You're right.
He smiled at Garnet.
So, want to get fucked? Yes.
I was right. It was just beginning. 3 days later, the second adventuring party attacked us in the morning. We were just about to start the day's sparring when they broke in. 4 red dots. I watched them from the throne room. When Garnet went to suck my cock, I pushed her away. The first group had tested us. This might very well be them, regrouped and with the right gear. GWYLT died first. Then Svite. The adventuring party made short work of them. My monster girls flooded in, attacking them from different sides.
Come on!
I growled as they drove the adventuring party to one of the traps that IT triggered. The red dots flickered, but they still stayed in the fight. Hila died. Then Kibir. It felt so bloodless from here. But right now, my monster girls were fighting and dying. They were suffering pain for me.
Drive them back.
I growled as the adventuring party crashed into 3 of the blue dots. Svisos, Jintaras, and Nos winked out one after the other.
It's not going as well, said Lana.
She paced to the side.
Puppies,
whimpered Garnet as Marwo died. There weren't many of the monster girls left. The adventurers were driving down one of the tunnels. They hit a trap and a red dot winked out. I swallowed. That was a person who died. A hero thinking they were coming here to stop a great evil. They wouldn't come back. My monster girls would return so long as the void crystal survived. I swallowed that I had killed Mthunzi, but that had been in the middle of a fight. It was my life or his.
This?
It was so voyeuristic. I clenched my fist as the red dots hit the dead end. The surviving monster girls were between them and the exit. The groups clashed. Another of the red dots winked out, but so did the last of my monster girls. All my will-o-wisps had died. My wildhounds. The 2 dots crept out. They moved with caution through the dungeon.
You naughty bastards!
Hissed Garnet.
Go and revive them, big bro. Let's mop up. Those 2 have to be weak.
I nodded and turned and ran to the vault. I moved at full speed. I burst into the room and found the void crystal had a red gleam about it. Celine looked up. She blinked and then flitted to me, her eyes wide.
What are you doing here?
She gasped.
Has it gone that bad? Is it a last stand? I'm here to bring the monster girls back to life,
I said, reaching for the crystal.
But there are foreign and conscious souls in the dungeon. Souls who are aware and you don't have power over.
And? I grabbed the stone and frowned. My brow furrowed. I wanted to sink my will into it, but I was being rebuffed.
You can only master reality when there are only conscious souls in here tied to this crystal.
Celine floated before me.
You, your companions, the monster girls. It can affect them, but those intruders' awareness have locked reality.
What? I demanded.
Sorry.
She wilted.
I would let you if I could, but they are a taint. Look at the crystal. It's not happy.
I growled.
Fine.
I whirled around and marched back to the throne room, my hands clenched. I burst into the room. Lana and Garnet were both at the map. I marched up to them, my breastplate feeling heavier than usual.
I adjusted a strap.
Where are they?
I asked. They're nearing the lightning trap room, said Lana Fullman. She looked up, her expression softening.
You couldn't bring them back to life?
When this is over, I said. Whatever brought me here has rules or something. I can't change reality while there are intruders in my domain. I suppose that would be easy mode.
This isn't a game, Garnet said.
What if it is? I asked.
I'm brought here, given materials, and told to build a base. Manage resources. Get champions. Level up. It feels like a game to me.
Just who brought us here?
Why?
What do they want?
My sister gave me a helpless look that I sighed.
I know. They're at the lightning room, said Lana. She grabbed my hand as we watched the dots. From there, they could find the hallway that led to us. It was hidden by darkness magic with two trap doors leading off, one which led to a fake treasure. Thunzi had no problem with this room, but he was also a dungeon builder.
Were these adventurers?
The columns flickered on the map. So did the red dots. Damage afflicted them. The right one winked out. The final one lasted a heartbeat longer, then it vanished. Died. I swallowed. Four adventurers killed today. I glanced at the door out of my throne room. Then I marched to it, stamping across the map. My sister gasped something, but it was lost to my tumultuous emotions that I stepped out into the hallway, heading to the door to Yusuka's guard room. I burst in. She had relaxed, her weapons lowered. She tensed when she saw me. Her blue eyes shot me a questioning look.
It's over, I said.
They're dead. I opened the door and moved down a hallway to the lightning room. The traps that lined it, a mix of pits and lightning blasts, didn't affect me. I threw open the concealed door. The room smelled of burned air, that electrical scent. Two bodies lay smoking where their dots had winked out. One was dressed in robes. A slender body with purple hair and pointed ears, a staff clutched in her hand. An elven wizard. The other was a brawny man in shiny armor, a cape smoking on his back. His sword lay inches from his fingers. I stood over them and sighed.
I didn't do anything to you, I whispered. Why did you try and attack me?
The corpse had no answer. With them dead, they could be manipulated by the dungeon. I buried the four adventurers in their own tomb that was impossible to access. Their gear I added to the treasure chests I scattered in the labyrinth. I didn't want to kill adventurers. Maybe if they found the loot, they would be content with the reward and flee. 3 days later, the third party entered. There were three of them. I stared at the dots as my monster girls, all brought back to life, converged to attack them. I swallowed as I saw them moving in to kill the adventurers. Then I did something that might be the dumbest decision I ever made. Chapter 19 Stop. I shouted at my monster girls. Fall back. Hide. Let them pass, Lord Leo, rang through my mind from all 12 of my monster girls.
What are they doing? Asked Lana.
Why are the monster girls retreating down the side passages?
They're letting the adventurers get in.
I know, I said. I'm going to parley with them. I want to talk with them. Find out what they are doing. Maybe get the adventurers to stop targeting my place.
What?
Gasped Lana.
Big bro.
Garnet stared at me in shock.
That's insane.
Yep, I said. Yusuku, come to the throne room.
Yes, Lord Leo, came her answer. I drew in a deep breath as I watched the adventurers moving forward. I couldn't do anything about the traps, but one of their dots appeared skilled at disabling them after they triggered the first one. They moved through the labyrinth, my monster girls hiding like I commanded. The party approached the lightning room.
This is so stupid, muttered Garnet.
Probably, I answered. But I don't want to kill them.
Maybe they can be reasoned with.
Show them I'm not like the other dungeon builders. I don't want to cause problems.
It's noble, Lana said.
Garnet puffed out her cheeks and her tail swished back and forth.
You're risking your life, big bro. You're the only one of us that can't come back. You die, and it's over for all of us.
I'm not going to die, I said.
If they fight, it'll be the four of us against the three of them. We have the advantage.
The adventurers reached the lightning room. Would they die in there? I didn't know. They moved into the room. The nearest pillar flickered on the map. One of the red dots blinked, taking damage. The other characters scattered. The lightning pillar pulsed again. A red dot moved to it. Then the pillar winked out. They disabled their way through the room. My fingers clenched about the armrests on the throne. Was I making a mistake?
Maybe.
But I had to show the world that I wasn't a bad guy. That I didn't need to be their enemy. I could be an ally to them. There was no need for us to be enemies. For my existence to promote such animosity, the adventurers began searching the lightning room. Would they find the false door or go down one of the two decoy tunnels? Maybe they wouldn't find us and retreat. Well, at least they would be alive. They could tell the others that this wasn't a real dungeon. That would be nice. They headed down the south decoy route. It was nothing but a small maze full of traps. It went nowhere. Garnet started pacing more and more, shaking her head. She stared at me with this fear in her eyes. She was worried for me. Lana was getting antsy, too, but she tried to hide it. Yusuka had found this stoic calm. She stood almost like a statue, hardly moving. I flexed my fingers. Then I sent a command to one of the wildhounds. Du was the closest. She raced to the lightning room. While the adventurers were moving through the southern maze, Du reached the lightning room and opened the concealed door before she darted back out of the room.
Big bro!
Garnet gasped. She shook her head in exasperation at me,
her red hair dancing about her features.
Really?
Really?
I said. We're here to make friends today.
The trio took about a quarter hour to explore the offshoot and then headed back to the lightning room. They stepped out into the room and froze. They huddled up for several minutes. They had to be talking about the open door.
Great, they see it as a trap,
I said, shaking my head.
It was our best defense,
groaned Garnet.
And you just turned it off. Why not just march to the entrance and be a greeter? Just shake their hands like you work at Walmart or something, big bro?
Yeah, I'll do that next time, I said with a big smile. My little sister shot me an irritated look. She puffed out her cheeks again, her demon wings fluttering.
Big bro, you are so maddening.
They're moving, said Yusuke. They're coming here. The adventuring party cautiously moved to the door. One appeared to search it, then led the way. That Dot must be a rogue-type character. He kept disabling all the traps that lined the way. They reached Yusuke's guard room and the door that led here.
Okay, places,
I said, the tension growing. I stood up, holding my lightning spear. I drew in a deep breath, hoping this wasn't the greatest mistake of my life. The three figures moved down the corridor and then reached the throne room. I looked at the doors. They were just on the other side. My heart pounded so fast in my chest. Garnet stood on my right, Lana on my left. Yusuke to the side, arms folded across her chest.
Okay, this is...
I started to say. The doors flung open and the trio rushed in. A woman led the way. She wore armor straight out of a cheesy fantasy movie from the 80s. A breastplate bikini that cradled her tits and a matching pair of steel panties. She had pauldrons covering her shoulders and thigh-high boots with greaves strapped over them to protect her ankles. Her black hair streamed behind her in a braid. She held a sword in her hand, the blade bright silver, that seemed to be vibrating. I could hear a hum coming from it. Behind her came two men. One was clearly the rogue, a slim man in black leather with a knife in hand. The other looked to be a mage or a priest, it was hard to say, wearing yellow robes with a white accent to them. He didn't have a staff or wand, but his hand clutched at an amulet about his neck. A wide disc of gold, like a holy symbol.
A priest? Welcome, welcome,
I said, trying to sound friendly as I stepped forward. The trio stared at me suspiciously. The woman advanced, the rogue and cleric following behind her. They formed a triangle aimed at me.
I'm Leo. Leo Baldwin. And I would like to talk.
To parley.
The woman at the lead stopped. She had reached the map. Her brow furrowed. She was young and beautiful. Blue eyes that held an intensity. Red lips that pursed tight. She glanced back at the cleric. He clutched even tighter at his holy symbol.
Dungeon builders never want to parley, he said. It's a trap.
Yep,
the rogue said.
It's not a trap, I said, stepping forward.
I reached the other side of the map.
I want to talk. I don't want to have to fight you. I am not a threat to anyone. I just want to build my dungeon and live in peace. No one has to die. You can help spread the word. Tell the others that I'm not a threat. I'm sure you would love that, monster.
The woman spat. She aimed her sword at me. The tip of the blade fuzzed to a blur as it was humming. When she moved it, the buzzing sound cleaved through the air.
A chance to build up your monsters. To spread the reach of your foul labyrinth. You think we are stupid to give you the chance to swell your power? To siphon off more of the mana of this world and leave it drained?
That's not what I'm doing, I said. This is a big misunderstanding. I don't want to attack anyone. I'm not going to drain this world to a husk. I just want...
Liar!
She screamed and charged forward. I gaped as she rushed across the map, her boots thudding on the glass covering. Her sword hummed as it aimed right at my guts. My training paid off. I was stunned by the sudden rush, but my body reacted out of instinct. My lips moved, chanting the words to a spell.
Lightning crackle and hiss, gird me in the love of Lady Atu.
I cried out. A web of crackling lightning burst around me. The sword struck the currents. They caught the weapon, folding the field of static electricity around me. The fighter's face twisted with fury as she pressed the sword in.
Die!
She screamed.
You bitch!
Gasped Garnet. Lana Fullman spread her wings wide and pointed her finger. She fired lightning at the other two. The rogue dove beneath the bolt, rolling across the ground. The priest clutched his holy symbol and began chanting a spell. Yusuke summoned her weapon and rushed toward me, a sword dripping of shadows held in her hand. Garnet's wings flapped. She hissed then darted from me, her tail swishing behind her. This wasn't what I wanted.
Wait, please,
I said, staring at the woman trying to press her sword through my static aura.
We can still talk. We don't have to be enemies.
Of course we do,
she hissed.
This monstrosity you have carved out of the world is a blight upon it. A cancer that must be cut out before you kill it. You think I will let you do that? I have sworn to save it. I won't let you destroy it.
Fury twisted on her face. She drew back her sword and slammed the blade into my static aura. Lightning flickered across the web. I stared in shock at her. She hated me. We had never met. I had never done anything to her. Anything to anyone who didn't come here first. And she despised me with such intensity. She wanted to kill me. How could I convince her? Garnet was so mad at her big brother. She loved him so much that she felt like she would explode, so this big dumb plan scared her. She didn't want him to die. The fighter was swinging weapons at him while the cleric was casting some spell.
Lady Sherida, I beseech thee, use thy light to eradicate my foe's magic,
he called out.
Garnet shuddered as she realized he was trying to dispel her brother's protection. The amulet the cleric wore flared with light. Her wings flapped as she rushed faster at him. Her tail swished behind her. He turned to her.
Demon!
He snarled and held up his amulet. It flared with a golden light that hurt Garnet's eyes. She winced against it, flinching back from it. He stood resolute in his faith. So secure in his belief. The radiance hurt. She wanted to flee from it. To go hide in the corner from it.
Lady Sherita's light will consume you, succubus!
He declared, marching at the succubus.
You shall blaze in incandescent holiness until only greasy ash remains. You're uptight!
She shouted, feeling the backed-up lust in his balls. The way his eyes trailed over her body even as he bathed her in radiance.
When was the last time you even whipped out your cock and masturbated it? You must be so full of brimming lust that you want to kill someone as cute as me.
She turned around and smacked her naked ass at him.
Do you seek to tempt me, harlot?
He roared.
I'm just saying.
She said, the shadows in the room swirling, responded to her powers.
How long has it been since you got your dick wet? You got that incel rage burning. You think I'm a teachotee, right? One of those guys who don't like titty streamers and rail against girls and their OnlyFans accounts. What foul, diseased nonsense are you spouting, demon?
The light burned. Garnet's wings flapped. She whirled around, her pigtails flying, and swept her hand in an arc before her, shadows trailing from her fingertips.
Just that you need to get off.
Relax. His light flared brighter, but her shadow soared through them and splashed across his face. They spilled over his features and then melted into his brain. He shook his head. He stumbled to his right. The light in his hand faltered.
Quay, heh, heh.
Garnet chortled and advanced on him as the radiance died, her hips swaying from side to side. His eyes fell on her little tits. He groaned.
That's it.
She cooed, stroking her small boobies.
Don't be shy. It's okay. You haven't gotten off in a while. You're backed up. Been following around Sir Tits in that armor bikini of hers. Got you a big case of blue balls. She doesn't give you any relief, does she?
No. He groaned, his hand sliding down the front of his robes. His eyes grew unfocused as her sensual magic worked on him. The shadows coated his mind.
You're cute?
She suggested.
Adorable?
She rested her chin on her hands and fluttered her eyes.
Sexy?
Yes. He groaned and shoved his hands into his robe. He started fondling himself. Just stroking his cock hard beneath his robes. Ugh, he's so small, thought the succubus as she kept up her sultry smile. Not like my big brother.
That's it. Ooh, you're so bi.
All the ladies deserve you.
Yes, yes. A foolish smile crossed his lips.
Lana Fullman fired her blast of lightning at the rogue. He dodged beneath it and came up with a pair of throwing daggers that flew out at the movie starlet. They flashed through the air. She folded her lightning wings before her and then swept them wide, knocking them back. They clattered across the floor. He sprang up into a sprint, rushing right at her. She formed the charge for another lightning blast. He vanished in a puff of smoke. She gasped, freezing in shock. He had been rushing at her, and now he was gone.
Light flared from the cleric as Lana Fullman studied the throne room. Where is he?
She thought, utterly confused about where he could have gone. It made no sense to her. She glanced over at the map set in the floor. Her brow furrowed. She could see the various dots. The white dot that represented Leo with a red dot before him. Yusuka's blue dot headed for him, while Garnet's gold dot advanced on the cleric's red point. One more red dot was standing by Lana's own gold. It was, behind her. She whirled around only for a knife to bury into her stomach. The rogue melted into view, a grin on his face as pain lanced through her body. She gasped at the agony and stumbled back. His dagger hit a vital spot, dealing a massive amount of damage. He ripped his dagger out and then slashed it up at her throat. It ripped across the right side. Blood spurted. She staggered back, the world spinning around her. Legs growing weak, she collapsed onto the ground. The world faded black.
Leo.
She croaked. Her number one fan had to save her, but everything grew darker. The world faded away. Then she was sleeping. A voice sang a lullaby to her. A familiar voice. Celine. She felt those comforting arms around her like she had when she was summoned to this world. My lightning aura ended. Dispelled by the cleric.
Fuck.
I gasped as the fighter's sword hurtled in at me. I thrust my spear up and caught her sword. Her blade struck it and sheared through it. I gasped as my silver weapon split in half. The lightning imbued in it burst out as a few sparks, impotent as they fizzled out. She drew back her sword to strike at me. Yusuku rushed in from the side, swinging a shadowy sword at the warrior. The attacking woman cursed and whirled to meet this new attack. Their weapons clashed right before me. Yusuku's umbral blade fared better against her humming weapon. They traded blows. This was not going right. Lana screamed in pain, wrenching my attention to her.
Lana.
I gasped as she fell to the ground in a spurt of blood. The rogue glanced at me and smirked. Then he vanished in a puff of smoke.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
I snarled, my stomach tightening. I couldn't see him. He had taken out Lana. He had skill.
Danger.
Weapons clashed to my right as my stomach tightened. Panic threatened to overwhelm me. I had to think.
Focus.
What to do? I needed to get my protection up. Lightning crackle and hiss, gird. Pain burst in my back. I grunted and spun around to find the rogue behind me. Blood dripped from his dagger.
my blood. This was going horribly wrong. I felt liquid spilling down my back, but I stood somehow. He slashed at me, going for my throat, blood trailing from the edge of the weapon.
Chapter 20. The knife hacked for my throat. My training paid off. I ducked beneath it and darted to the right. The pain in my back throbbed. He punched his dagger through my body. Blood soaked my robe. I grabbed my throne to steady myself. The rogue grinned at me. He had this look of satisfaction on his face as he advanced on me, my blood dripping from the dagger. I had to regain control of this situation. I had to somehow talk to these adventurers.
Wait! I shouted. We don't have to fight.
His smile grew.
Do you think we'll be merciful? To one of your foul ilk? Butchers of villages. Pillagers of cities. Leechers of mana. You and your dungeons are all blights upon this world. No matter how long it takes, we shall cleanse you all.
The anger. The vitriol slapped me. How could I overcome this and make peace? I needed a new plan. I needed to get one of them alone. Talk to them. Convince them that I wasn't a threat. I had to do something about the others. The rogue rushed in, knife slashing. I used the cut haft of my spear to knock it aside as I chanted. Darkness hides and shadows conceal. Let the curse of Lord Zuin fall. The shadowy magic rushed out of me and splashed across his face. He gasped and stumbled away. His knife slashed wildly before him. I retreated, the pain in my back throbbing worse and worse. It rushed up my body.
Melise!
The rogue shouted.
I need a dispel! Melise!
I glanced over at the cleric and, he was masturbating? He stared at my sister and jerked off his cock through his robe. He drooled at her as she preened and posed, wiggling her rump at him, her tail swishing back and forth. She giggled in this playful manner, completely oblivious to the fighting going on. She had him distracted, though. Yusuku and the female fighter clashed swords. I glanced at her. I had to capture one of them. I think I could hold one. The fighter. Then I could figure out how to win her to my side. If I just showed her I wasn't evil, that I was a good person, then this would work. I rushed around the throne, gritting my teeth against the pain. It throbbed up my back. Blood soaked my robes. The sodden mess clung to me. The thief had hit me in a vital spot. I glanced at Lana. She wasn't moving. I swallowed. I could revive her. I could bring her back. Her soul was tied to the void crystal and the glyph on my chest. Yusuka's naked breasts heaved as she fought back the warrior. The woman was skilled, putting my Fomorian on the defense. Yusuku barely kept that buzzing blade from finding her flesh. I moved up behind them. Sizzling touch, the spark of pain, let the prowess of Lord Enlil stun. I chanted and rushed in, thrusting my hand out before me. She whirled around and swung her sword at me. The buzzing blade rushed down at me.
Lord Leo!
Yusuka cried and threw herself at the warrior. Yusuka's dark purple hand grabbed the warrior's wrist, pulling her sword stroke short moments before it cut into my face. My hand planted on the fighter's tits a fraction of a second later. Sparks flared around my fingers. The woman didn't make a sound. She just collapsed, every muscle in her body going limp. Her wrist ripped out of Yusuka's grip. The enemy lay in a stunned heap on the ground, her arms limp. I sucked in deep breaths. A shout roared from the right. The rogue stumbled at us, thrusting his weapon wildly before him. Yusuka sidestepped his blow and smacked her hand into his face. He staggered back, blood streaming from his nose.
Shall I dispatch him, Lord Leo?
Asked Yusuku.
No!
I roared.
We need to get them out of here.
Alive.
Let me do that, big bro.
Garnet said. She skipped over to the rogue like we were on the playground. The cleric groaned and stumbled after her, still working at his cock beneath his robe, staring at her with lust in his eyes.
Just a little bit of this.
She threw her fingers forward and splashed shadows across the rogue's face. Then she giggled. A girlish, seductive sound. The rogue whirled his head around, staring in her general direction. He groaned.
Yes, yes, you know you want me, big boy.
She cooed.
MMM, you want to touch my nubile body. My sexy tits. My cute rump.
Yes. Groaned the cleric.
Harlot.
Moaned the rogue.
Your voice. That siren voice.
No.
No.
I can't, MMM, you want me.
You want me so much. Just drop that dagger and follow my voice. I'll give you such a treat.
The rogue did that. He dropped his weapon, under the control of my little sister's succubus charm. Both of the men were. She led them across the room, giggling and chortling. They passed through the open door.
Lord Leo?
Asked Yusuku. She came up behind me and pressed her hand into the wound.
This is bad. And I can't heal until they're out of the dungeon and...
I stared down at the stunned woman.
Great. I can't do anything with her in here. This won't work at all.
Won't work? Asked Yusuku as she pressed harder on my wound. I groaned against the pain.
She's a foreign soul. I can't change the dungeon when it's under attack.
Right, Celine? I sent. Yes, you can affect it when there's a conscious soul in your dungeon, she said. So no way to take prisoners, huh? Then I frowned.
You said conscious soul?
You mentioned that last time, didn't you? Yes, their conscious awareness locks reality, she said. The only other way to change things if they're not bound to the soul is if you have them imprisoned. But you need to be able to affect things to make a cell. Unless they're unconscious, I said, staring down at the warrior. She can't resist reality changes because her will is suppressed. That's true, Celine said. I thought that was implied when I said conscious soul during my explanation. Went right over my head. I glanced at Lana's body. Is Lana's soul in there with you? She's sleeping and dreaming of you, Celine answered, her words gentle and motherly. She is in no pain. Do not worry. I sighed. It was only myself I had to really worry about. I glanced at the map, the pain growing inside of me. The knife wound was deep. It bled out my life. Yusuke kept her hand pressed on it while I leaned on her. Garnet led the two enemies out of the dungeon. It took forever.
Vault. I muttered to Yusuke. They're almost out. Need to get there. Before I have you, Lord Leo. She said. If we just killed them, more would come.
I said, clutching to her and stumbling. My feet felt so cold. My fingers numb. If I hadn't strengthened my body, I probably would have collapsed. The pain twisted through me.
Eventually we'll lose. It's just the odds. Better to keep from being invaded. Best way to protect you.
The others, don't be concerned about us. Yusuke said. You're the one who really matters.
We all die with you. Unless another dungeon builder kills me.
I glanced at her.
You loved Mthunzi. Now you love me. You're my owner. She said. Of course I love you. Garnet will love the builder who kills me.
I whispered.
She loved you before she came here.
Yusuke said.
I know that. We've talked.
Lana didn't.
She had never met you.
Yusuke paused.
You're someone worth loving, Lord Leo.
Mthunzi.
I did love him, but he wasn't a good man. He was cruel. He delighted in his power.
It went to his head.
He came here to take your lightning from you so he could be stronger. You wouldn't do that. I'd rather be yours than his.
You're not just saying that because I'm bleeding to death?
No.
Her hand tightened on me.
I'm really not. You are someone worth loving, Leo.
Lana recognizes that.
So does Garnet.
And all your monster girls, too.
Your wo-o-wisps and wildhounds adore you. Worship you.
They know you care for them. They know they aren't just things you'll throw away needlessly and replace when you get better monster girls.
Thanks.
I said as we stumbled through the bedroom. The void crystal was just ahead. Through the door.
Garnet, are they out of the dungeon yet?
Just about. My sister sent back.
They're so pathetic.
Just drooling over me.
It's hot.
They have small dicks. I'll send them off stumbling into the woods naked. No gear or anything. They'll have to start over from scratch when my charm wears off.
Good. I grunted. They would come for the warrior woman. Yusuke opened the door with her free hand. The void crystal hummed away, drinking in the mana. Would it really drain this world and leave it a husk? Was I slowly killing off this planet or something by being here?
Lord Leo. Celine said.
She rose from the gem and floated in the air.
You're hurt.
Oh, grab the void crystal.
Hurry.
Yeah, yeah. I muttered, my words slurring. I gripped the gem with numb fingers. I could barely feel its faceted surfaces.
Okay, they're out, big bro. Garnet said. Off to stumble naked in the woods.
Per trees.
I just know they're going to molest them.
Good. I growled and grabbed the crystal. I concentrated.
Chapter 21. Halia Vorbia had always known she wanted to be a fighter. To be one of the brave adventurers who went out and fought the dungeon builders. She had grown up hearing about her father. He had killed two dungeon builders before vanishing in the labyrinth of the most feared one of them all, the Black Flame of Nyas. The Razor of Kelias she had grown up in Astavin, training every day. While other girls were learning to sew or cook, she was swinging a wooden sword, a memento from her father. He had carved it the day she was born, certain she would be as strong as him. She wished she knew her father. She had explored through Mthunzi's dark dungeon, killing many of his wildhounds before being driven out. She wanted to kill him, but he had died before she could. But she had gained experience in his dungeon. Grown stronger. Found her sword a blessed blade, enchanted with magic to be unbreakable, to cut through normal weapons. She teamed up with Norso, a rogue, and Elise, a priest of Sharita, goddess of light. Together, they had tracked down the newest dungeon that had appeared near Astavin, and found it deserted. No enemies, just trapped. It baffled her. Walking through the dark corridors, searching, exploring, looking for the dungeon builder. For any sign that he was here. She started to fear that he had already died. That they were wasting time. Then they met him and Halia groaned awake. She ached everywhere. Her joints ground together. Her face contorted against the pain. She groaned, chains rattling. She blinked as she opened her eyes and felt metal around her wrists. Her arms were thrust over her head. Her feet were held apart. A stone wall was against her back.
She's coming awake, big bro.
A sensual yet girlish voice purred.
Ooh, ooh, she's got such big boobies. You should have stripped her naked.
What? A man gasped.
That's going too far.
She's manacled.
Not a threat.
She can keep her armor.
It's not like we're going to fight again.
What happened? Halia thought. She blinked, her vision still blurry.
It was dark in the room.
I was fighting with the Fomorian when...
No, no, strip her naked so we can see her tits,
the girlish voice said.
She deserves to have her modesty.
Another female voice said.
I agree with Yusuke.
A third woman added. She had a melodic voice.
She's our prisoner, not some sex slave. Ooh, that would be fun,
the first girl said.
Quay, heh heh, you could tie me up, big bro, and ravish me. Or you could have fun with her and those big tits. Yusuke and the wo-o-wisps have all the big tits I need.
The man said. That voice, thought Halia. That's the dungeon builder's voice. the Dark King who rules here. He's captured me, panic surged through Halia. She bucked against the chains, her breasts heaving in her armor. The iron links rattled above her. They clinked with the strength to hold her. The surge of fearful energy washed away the last of the fuzziness from her thoughts. Her vision sharpened on the four figures in the room. The dungeon builder stood in the middle of the monster girls. He wore a robe of gray, trying to pass himself off as a mage, and he was young. 19 or so. Her own age. He had black hair and dark eyes. They considered her with malevolence. She could feel his foul design spilling over her body. The three monster girls were all different. The Fomorian had her arms folded beneath her breasts and stood off to the side. Dark purple skin and blue hair. The shadow seemed to drip from her fingers, capable of forming a weapon at a moment's notice. The next was an older woman, late 20s but gorgeous. Her skin was silver bright and her hair gold. Lightning flickered between the strands while wings of electricity rose behind her. A lightning sprite. It'll be fun to strip her naked and play with her breasts, big bro, the succubus said. She was petite and had a playfulness that spilled across her wicked face. Black hair, gathered in two pigtails, trailed down around her face. Dark horns peeked out. A devil's tail swished behind her, leathery wings flapping. She wore thigh-high boots and nothing else. No, he said. Jesus, Scarnet, we're not going to molest her. The succubus puffed out her cheeks with a look of annoyance. Fine. Fine. She's just sexy. Ooh, but she's angry. You're awake, the dungeon builder said, sounding relieved. Halia knew it for the lie. Good, good. I just want to talk. Talk? She hissed. Just get it over with. His brow furrowed. Get what over with? The torture. Halia lifted her head in defiance. You will learn no secrets from me. The dungeon builder groaned. We're not going to torture you. Or apparently, play with your big boobies, muttered the succubus. Definitely not that, he said. He stepped forward, putting on a friendly smile. I'm Leo. Leo Baldwin. You are, well, your prisoner. He flinched. Well, you tried to stab me. He gave her a helpless look. I just wanted to talk. To figure out why you and your friend were attacking me. Because you're evil. The rage burst through Halia. The fury. Her arms shook the chains. You're foul and loathsome. Disgusting. I'm evil? He looked shocked. Me? I've never done anything aggressive. I've only defended my dungeon. You're around monsters. A foul and whorish succubus who preys on men's souls. She devours their eternal essence and condemns them to suffer. Quay, he he. The succubus chortled, a fake and annoying sound. She's my little sister. She doesn't hurt people. She doesn't eat souls. He glanced at her. Right, Garnet? Right. She said. All I eat is my big brother's semen. And pussy juices. She advanced on Halia, tail swishing. The warrior prepared herself for the pain. For the lash and the whip. Succubi could from those out of shadows and use them to revel in their sadistic and twisted pleasures that I won't scream in pain. Halia thought, refusing to give the succubus any satisfaction whatsoever. I won't submit to anything you do to me. I don't hurt anyone. The succubus said as she pressed her naked body against Halia's bound form. Scarlet eyes fluttered. The demonet ground a hot, wet pussy on Halia's thigh. Unless you want me to hurt you. I can make it feel so. Halia spat in the succubus's face. The spittle landed right on Garnet's lips. Her tongue flicked out. You have such sweet spit. Want to taste mine? We can kiss. The succubus leaned in, her lips wet and pink. Panic surged through Halia. Succubi worked their wiles on men, not women, but what if the legends were wrong? She couldn't afford to be charmed by her and wrenched her head away. Garnet, said Leo. No molesting. I'm not molesting her, big bro, Garnet said, looking at him. I'm just getting to know her. Same thing, he barked. Stop it. Garnet pried herself away from the prisoner. I shook my head at my little sister. She just gave me this big grin and sauntered to me. She still had some of the warrior's spittle on her lips. Garnet threw her arms around my neck and kissed me. She thrust her tongue into my mouth. I shuddered at the feel of her tongue darting around. She played with mine. I groaned, this heady rush shooting through me. It felt incredible. My hands grabbed her hips. I could taste the spit on her lips, the warrior's spit. I don't need to be subjected to your foul mating with the demon, hissed the prisoner. Garnet broke away. Oh, it's not foul when my big brother and I make love. It's magical. Our incestuous passion unites us. Disgust flitted across the prisoner's face. Incest? You would lie with your own sister? Have you no shame? You dungeon builders are all monsters. I sighed and broke away from my sister. What's your name? She glared at me. Is it really going to matter if I know your name? I asked. I'm not going to use that against you. She stared at me. Halia Vorbia, daughter of Anguin. Nice to meet you, Halia, I said. I'm not like those other dungeon builders. I haven't attacked anyone who didn't break into my dungeon first. Yet, she said. It won't be long before you're sending raids on us. Before it's not just those oozes and satyrs that attack Astavin, but your foul monster girls. Once you've found our village, you'll be attacking us, too. Trying to conquer us. That's what you do. Attacks? I asked. In the last week. From one of your ilk. She glared at him.
One of your brother dungeon builders. He has his oozes and satyrs raiding our village. He's kidnapped several girls. So why aren't you attacking his dungeon?
I demanded in exasperation.
I don't have oozes. I have wild hounds and will-o-wisps. I wanted to stop you before you became as powerful as him.
Halia said.
I will stop you. Somehow. You might have killed my companions, but I won't stop. They're alive.
I said, cutting her off. She blinked.
Garnet used her charm to lead them off into the woods. They might be fucking a tree or two, but they'll reach Astavin.
I said.
It's a nice village. Visited it once. Bought some food. It wasn't being attacked then. You know where Astavin is?
She said, shocked.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks now. I'm not here to raid Astavin.
My hands balled up tight.
It's that dungeon builder south of Astavin, right?
The one near the Lord's estate.
He's cut off this region from the capital. Mir, something or other.
Myrasilla. She said, looking suspicious.
And he's raiding your village? Kidnapping women?
Anger boiled through me.
To rape them?
Halia nodded.
Fucking bastard.
I growled.
That's sick. That's seriously fucking sick. I told you.
Yusuka said.
You're a good one. We have to do something about this.
I said.
If we have dungeon builders in the area attacking Astavin, it's just going to bring more adventurers here. Adventurers who might attack us. Walking into another dungeon builder's lair didn't work out well from Thunzi.
Pointed out Yusuku.
He was an arrogant prick who thought that me being new meant he could show off.
I countered.
Halia, I'm going to free you from the chains. This is your cell. I'm not going to harm you. Going to feed you and all. I want us to be friends. I don't want to be an enemy of Astavin or the people of this world. I want to figure out why I'm here. What ploy is this, dungeon builder?
The warrior hissed as I approached her.
Not a ploy.
I said.
Diplomacy.
She flinched as I stepped up before her. I grabbed the chain and pried out the bolt that held it closed. I slipped that into my robe's pocket. Her hand came free. She flexed her fingers. I could see the consideration in her eyes. Then her gaze flicked to my three women behind me.
I know, you want to kill me.
I said.
I'm going to change your mind, Halia. I'm going to show you that not all of us dungeon builders are the enemy of this world. There are some bad ones out there. We'll stop them. You'll become him.
She said, her eyes blazing.
You'll take his power and become even more of a threat to this world. Even harder to defeat.
I sighed and shook my head. I pulled out the bolt on the other manacle. She had both her hands free now. I stepped back and then motioned to the side.
You have a bed. I know it's not much. You're probably hungry. Dinner will be soon. Garnet's cooking tonight, so I'm sorry about that. But it'll be edible. Hey!
Garnet gasped.
I thought you loved my cooking. You were so thankful last time I cooked.
I looked at her and grinned.
Thankful that it didn't kill me.
Lana burst into laughter while Garnet stamped her foot in petulance and annoyance. We retreated out of the cell as Halia freed her feet on her own. I closed the heavy, wooden door. It was barred from the outside with a heavy plank of oak. Nothing fancy. No lock or anything, but it couldn't be opened from the inside. I peered through the bars in the door to see Halia sink onto the bed.
We need a way to watch out for Astavin.
I said.
I think we need another wildhound. Can you make another one?
Lana asked.
I think so.
I said as we headed down the short hallway. It intersected with the hallway that led to my living quarters.
We gained some experience today. We need a scout. A wildhound would be perfect.
I headed to the void crystal and created a new wildhound. Sisko appeared looking like her sister wildhounds. Petite, dark-haired, and friendly. She barked the moment she appeared, her ears twitching. Then she ripped open my robe and sucked my cock into her mouth.
Sisko.
I moaned as she sucked with hunger on my dick. I groaned. It had been a long day. I closed my eyes and enjoyed the warmth of the monster girl's mouth working up and down my cock.
Big bro, if you needed your cock sucked, I could have done it.
Garnet huffed. Her wings flapped.
You know I love sucking your dick. Not why I created her.
I panted, staring down at my loving monster girl. Her tail swished behind her.
I have a mission for her.
She just sucked harder.
Damn, and it's not to be the best cocksucker in the world, but... Fuck, that's nice.
I closed my eyes and surrendered to the delight of her sucking on me. Of that wonderful mouth working up and down my cock. She nursed with such delight. My hand rested on her head. I scratched between her doggy ears. They wiggled. She moaned and sucked harder on me. Her mouth worked with such intensity on my dick.
Fuck yes.
I groaned. That's such a good girl.
Yes, yes. At least the puppy's doing a good job.
Garnet said. She moved around, fell to her knees, and hugged Sisko from behind.
I'm your little sis. You suck him good, puppy.
Garnet and Sisko, of course, weren't related. But all the wildhounds saw her as their little sister since they were all darkness monsters. Sisko moaned and sucked harder on my dick.
Oh, she's doing a great job, said Yusuka. All those wildhounds are just the best. Make him come, Sisko.
The wildhound nodded while she sucked on my cock. Garnet licked and nibbled on her ear, humping against Sisko. The wildhound's suction was incredible. I groaned, the pressure building and building in my balls. I would have such a mighty eruption. A powerful explosion of cum that would burst out of me. My hand scratched between her ears. They twitched as she moaned.
Her warm mouth slid up and down my cock. She bobbed with such energy. Sucked with such enthusiasm. She slid those wonderful lips down my cock then sucked back up again. My toes curled. I groaned as I savored the wonderful pressure of her hungry mouth nursing at my cock. It was amazing. My face contorted. I sucked in deep breaths as I came closer and closer to that moment of eruption, when I would pump all that cum into her mouth. It would be amazing. I rose towards it. My newest monster girl sucked with all her might. My balls tightened. I groaned, my heart pounding so fast. I came so close to spurting my jizz into her mouth. It would be delicious.
Oh fuck, that's it.
I moaned.
Make my big bro come,
purred Garnet.
You have to. He's just the best.
Mmm, he's amazing. Lana purred. She hugged me from behind. I felt her breasts through my robe.
He wants to do the right thing. Be a hero.
Yes. I groaned.
Just because I have a dungeon doesn't mean I have to be the bad guy, right?
Right. Celine said. She masturbated her miniature body on the void crystal, her fingers burying into her slit.
Oh yes, yes, you're the one. I can feel it.
So can I. I groaned.
Sisko, I'm almost there. Swallow every drop of my big bro's yummy cum.
Moaned Garnet. She nibbled on the wild hound's ear and squeezed her tits.
Don't waste any of it.
Sisko moaned and nursed with hunger on my dick. I groaned at the force of her suction. The pleasure rose in my dick. The aching need to erupt. My balls tightened. Her tongue swirled around the crown of my dick.
Fuck yes!
I erupted. My cum fired into her mouth. I pumped burst after burst of jizz into her. It was incredible. I groaned, the pleasure blazing through my mind. I shuddered, savoring every moment of this bliss. Every last second of this rapturous delight. She gulped it down. She swallowed my cream, her eyes shining up at me. Her ears twitched. She whined as she suckled out more and more of my cum. My balls tightened. The ecstasy hammered me to the heights of bliss.
Fuck yes!
I groaned as she nursed out my cum.
Oh, I have a plan for you, Sisko. You're going to be perfect, aren't you?
She nodded as she swallowed the last of my jizz. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.